going to introduce myself. My name is Kenneth Howard, and the title of my talk is Genetic Analysis of Parentage of Replacement Reproductives and Alates in a Primitive Termite, Zochimopsis nevidensis. So this is work done in Barbara Thorne's lab at University of Maryland, and we're interested in the evolution of eusociality in termites. In particular, we're asking why do some of these individuals forgo their own reproduction to help others? And this has been fairly well studied in a number of groups, and a lot of focus has been put into kin selection. They're helping out their relatives, particularly in the Hymenoptera that have the haplodiploid relatedness asymmetries, and basically asking, do these asymmetries act as a driver on eusocial evolution? But the termites are diploid, and so they don't have these kinds of asymmetrical relatedness patterns. And so we tend to focus more on what kind of ecological factors might be basically favoring the eusocial behavior. And one hypothesis that our lab has proposed is accelerated inheritance. And the way this works is that the primary reproductives maybe get killed or moved out of the colony by ecological factors. And then this allows opportunities for some of the subordinate helpers to then develop into or move into primary reproductive roles. Unfortunately, we don't have termite species that are transitionary, so we can't test this directly. But we can look at some of the more primitive groups that have some of those ancestral-like characteristics. And so one of these groups is the damploid termites in the family of Termopsidae. And one of their characteristics that we think is ancestral-like is that the workers are developmentally plastic. And so here's a worker here. This worker can develop into or molt into any of the adult forms. And there's several different forms it can molt into. Their reproductive forms include primary reproductives. These are alates. They start out winged. They fly up and mate. And then start up a new colony in a piece of wood, and they become the king and queen. That's what I'm showing you here. There's also secondary reproductives, the normal neotenics that we see in a number of other termites, as well as reproductive soldiers, which appear to be fairly rare. These workers can also develop into normal soldiers, which, as far as we can tell, have no chance for future reproduction. So they're the only completely non-reproductive form. Another trait of these termites that appears to be ancestral-like is that they're one-piece nesters. The king and queen move into a dead tree or a piece of wood, they get under the bark, and the colony develops and spends the rest of its life in that that resource. And eventually, when that resource runs out, the individuals then develop into alates and disperse. We don't think that they're moving from one tree to the next. So that means there's quite a bit of competition for this limited resource. And so you can see this picture shows young colonies that have basically built walls around, and there's a large number of these colonies. And I'm going to call these single family groups as colonies, but you'll see it gets a little bit complicated here in a minute. So obviously there's a lot of competition for space and food, and when these colonies start expanding and growing, they start running into the nearby colonies. And when we put these colonies together in the lab, one of two things happens. If one colony is quite a bit bigger than the other one, then it's going to basically destroy the smaller colony. However, if they're fairly similar in size, interestingly enough, they merge together into a single unit. And so you end up with a multi-family group that's cooperating together. When this happens, one or two or sometimes all four of the primary reproductives are killed. And so this is a queen that's being eaten by the workers after the colonies have merged. So this behavior may be one way that you can get accelerated inheritance opportunities for those subordinates. This merging behavior also raises two really interesting questions, because these two colonies that are merging are unrelated. And so one question is, do both these colonies that merge then have opportunities to reproduce, including the colony that lost their king and queen in the process? And then the second question, if those colonies are both reproducing, are they sharing evenly, or is one colony dominating the other? And so to look at this, we collected colonies of Zochimopsis nevidensis from near Placerville, California. We raised these in the lab. These produced alates, and we allowed these alates to mate with unrelated alates from other colonies and to begin raising workers. And we collected a few of those workers so we could genotype those colonies and use for later comparison. And then we allowed colonies that were similar in size to interact with one another. And so these colonies merged together. And in every case, at least one of the four primary reproductives was killed in this process. And then we looked over an 18-month span what those colonies produced in terms of the alates shown at the top, also neotenics, the normal neotenics, the reproductive soldiers. And we also looked at the end of the 18 months at the normal soldiers and the workers. And we used 7 microsatellite loci, and these were variable enough that we could find unique alleles and actually figure out the parental origins of almost all of the individuals that we found. And I'm going to show you two sets of results. The first is these were interactions where the secondary reproductives were removed as soon as they were found, and so they were continuously observed over the 18 months. And so this figure is showing a histogram of the number of interactions on the y-axis, how many of these interactions fell into each of these three colonies. And so the none refers to those interactions where no secondary reproductives were produced. In these cases, there were usually an intact royal pair, both a king and a queen, present in the colony. So they're evidently suppressing some of the development of the secondary reproductives. We also found a number of these interactions where only one of the two colonies reproduced, but interestingly enough, it wasn't always the one with the surviving king and queen. Sometimes it was the other colony that we're going to call the deposed colony. And then, interestingly enough, the number of times both colonies were reproducing within the same colony, and so both of these colonies had opportunities for direct reproduction. We also looked at interactions where we didn't collect the secondary reproductives until the very end, at 18 months, and we again saw a somewhat similar pattern. Fewer of them produced none. For some reason, we ended up with fewer that had intact royal pairs. There were still the majority where just one of the two colonies produced, but in this case, there are 13 interactions where both colonies were contributing. So it's clear from these results that there are, at least in many of these interactions, opportunities for both colonies to get benefits despite the fact that they're unrelated to the colonies they're merging with. We can also look and see if they're sharing the reproduction evenly. And so this figure is showing on the y-axis the mean percent produced from either the surviving colony, these are the ones where the primaries survived longer, or the deposed colony, the ones that lost their primaries when they merged. And there's also a few individuals that arose through interbreeding between the two colonies. And looking at the reproductive groups, the neotenics and the alates, these first two, it does look like there's a slight advantage for the surviving colonies. So the ones that the reproductives survive do get more of those reproductives, but there's quite a bit of variation and overlap. And so it appears that those deposed colonies still get a fair number of neotenics and the alates out. But the situation differs when you start looking at the workers. This third column, vast majority of the workers were produced by the surviving royal pair, and very few are coming from those deposed colonies. And there are a few workers that are interbred, and so this actually might be another route to getting reproductive fitness, is get at least one secondary reproductive out that can then mate with the other colony and start producing workers. These workers are also interesting because they're the pool from which future reproductives will be developing, and so it looks like the surviving colonies will dominate the reproduction of the colony into the future. Just as an interesting side note, we looked at the soldiers too, and they were much more even. More of the deposed workers, or the deposed colony, had produced soldiers than we saw in the other casts. This may just be because these soldiers developed early on during the interaction when the numbers were a little bit more even, and they just didn't die and weren't replaced. But there could be something interesting going on with deposed workers getting shunted over into soldier development, because remember, the soldiers are the ones that are not able to reproduce. So just to summarize these results, both colonies that merged produced secondary reproductives and alates in many of these interactions. The colonies with the longer surviving kings and queens produced more of these reproductives and workers, so they appear to get more benefit at the present time and into the future. And the deposed colonies produced a greater portion of the soldiers, but we're really not sure why that is. But the main interesting result is that both of these colonies were getting direct reproductive fitness within the colony without having to leave that merged group. And so there are a few implications from this. First, the unrelated individuals appear to be able to benefit by helping even when they're losing their primary pair. And so it doesn't appear, at least in terms of helping the other colony, that kin selection is necessarily involved with this helping behavior. So that's kind of interesting. Also, this colony merging, we can see a route through which this could be persisting through something similar to reciprocal altruism. Basically, they're helping each other, and they may not get immediate fitness, but in the future, they're able to reproduce and get fitness. Also appears that because colony size matters, remember, the larger colonies almost always destroy the small ones, this competition, this limited resource, could also favor this merging behavior. And it does appear that colony mergers provide opportunities for secondary reproductives to develop. So if this kind of resource competition was likely going on in those early groups of termites that are evolving eusociality, this might be one route through which helping behavior can evolve. So with that, I'd like to thank these people for their help and also the funding, and thanks for your attention.